What's up, everyone? Hope you all having doing well. Welcome to RBLR Bulls. My name is Carter Brantley, one of your co-hosts, and we're here to talk some USF athletics. Hope y'all are excited because it was an eventful week for USF athletics. We got some good news, got some bad news, and everything in between. Before we get too much further, I would like to introduce my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq. How you doing today, my friend?
So far, so good, Carter. You know, another beautiful or sunny day in the Bay. You know, it's like they say, April showers, May flowers. So, you know, enjoying life to the fullest. But yeah, man, you know, of course, you know, it's not like it was the busiest time of the year for, you know, USF athletics. But, you know, there's always something cooking, some real good stuff cooking, man. You know, some lows as well. Hey, that's life. But what a time to be a Bull.
What a time to be that. That's right. And we'll start with some more procedural news about the football and basketball teams. Because hey, you know, they had some pretty fun little news pieces come in this past week. Michael Harris, a linebacker from Maryland, he is joining USF. He spent 3 years in Maryland, where he played over 400 defensive snaps. He recorded 34 tackles. He was a pretty key rotational player in 2024. He's a Florida native. He's from Apopka. He was a Lake Brantley alum, no relation. He returns to the Bay with 2 years of eligibility left to bolster that Bulls front seven. So some exciting stuff. Musab, any key takeaways from Michael Harris? Did you have any?
I'm excited to see him and Grayson Howard together. That'll be I think that's just one thing to see is, like, you know, a fresh set of linebackers, you know, on this USF squad. Mm-hmm. So I like it, dude. I think this is great. And I think this is the kind of talent, you know, you would expect, you know, maybe to come on over here, you know, for whatever reason, didn't get his spotlight, or, you know, maybe he was just, you know, down below in the depth chart or whatever. So saw the opportunity and maybe he saw the best fit. So yeah, man, I'm real excited just cause I mean, it's a big, you know, big name, or, you know, he's coming from a big program, you know, he's got that kind of Big Ten experience and, you know, true experience, over 400 snaps. Yeah. You know, like, you know, again, as you said, key rotational player. So
yeah. Big time. Yeah. Big time playing time at a big time school. Well, you know, at a big time program in a big time conference. I'm really interested to see, you know, him and Grayson Howard. Obviously, unfortunately, the bugaboo with Pup Howard is that he does have a bit of an injury history. You know, it's tough. So, you know, USF needs to continue to build that linebacker depth because that position is it's just been so important for them over the past few years. I mean, Jalen Schuler and Mac Harris leave two really big holes to fill, frankly, because both of those guys were just kind of the heart and soul of this defense last year. USF doing their thing, continuing to kind of bolster that front seven. It's a big thing. So yeah, we'll see how Michael Harris plays in a USF uniform. They also had a vague announcement about a helmet announcement. I don't know, something to do with uniforms from their Twitter page. So I guess stay tuned for that. They could be releasing some new or recycled uniform type of thing within the next day or two. So that should be kind of fun. So also a little bit of fun NFL football news for USF fans. Mac Harris, he is joining the Bucs after going undrafted, unfortunately, in the draft, but he is now, I believe, in rookie minicamp or whatnot. That's kind of a cool little storyline. Staying local, staying at Ray J. And so far, the coaches have been relatively impressed with him, you know, as impressed as you can be with a guy like that. And, man, it would be such a cool story if he managed to make that roster because, man, USF to the Bucks, it's Jason Pierre-Paul and I think that's about it. I can't really think of any other recent USF football players that have gone to the Bucs. So that would be a really fun story. But yeah, that's about all for football. But men's basketball, they had a couple of new recruits as well to round out the roster. Tiafing Diawara, 7 foot center, 7'3" wingspan. He brings some elite interior size. Musab, what can you tell me about this guy? Because he's been at a pretty big program. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, we got a big dog in the house. And as you said, yeah, he comes from Syracuse, barely played as a true freshman, only, you know, showed up in four games. has 3 years of eligibility left, so definitely a lot to prove. And I hope, you know, he stays here and finds his, you know, sense of belonging. Kind of a backstory: he's originally from Mali. Then he spent 4 years in one of Italy's like top basketball programs, and then he came and played a little bit of prep ball. But you know, he got offers from Baylor and Kansas State, you know, before choosing Syracuse. So you know, that talent level was always there. You know, he's just going to a, you know, he went to a phenomenal, you know, institution for basketball. So sometimes, you know, it gets a little challenging. But I'll tell you this, though. I like how much height we have now, man. We got him and Zaden High, dude, who stands at 6'10". So, you know, I think USF is going to be one of the taller front courts in the American Conference, which is nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to compete sometimes with size, and that was what was so nice about Isaiah Nelson, who, by the way, just a little side piece, he has been mocked to some teams in the NBA draft. He has been mocked as a second-round pick in some NBA mock drafts. That's kind of a fun little storyline. USF basketball player getting drafted, I don't know that that's happened for a long time. I think the last time was maybe Dominique Jones. But regardless, what was so nice about having him and Collins last season, and what made them such a successful little little front court pairing, was that, you know, it allowed them to compete with some of the bigger teams. And, you know, they ran into that sometimes. They had some size issues if they only had Nelson or if they only had Collins.
Yeah, well, I remember, for example, like that guy from Wichita State, Will Berg, number 44. Yep.
That's right. So now,
exactly.
So now USF has a little bit more heft, a little bit more size and length to keep up with those types of players, because man, you can't really teach that. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to compete with sometimes when you don't have that type of size to crash the boards, to play defense, whatever the case may be. DOR definitely gives them that. So we'll see how Coach Mack is able to utilize them. So that was just one of the final pieces of this USF men's basketball puzzle. But the final piece was Mr. Treek, I believe a hidden gem, as you would like to say, Mr. Ref Stevenson out of DePauw University. Am I saying that right?
Yep, DePauw, yeah.
DePauw, it's D3 like DePauw. Guy.
So, yeah, D3 legend.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call him a legend exactly, but in my eyes, he already is, you know, just.
Right.
Well, when I heard about this, I was like, okay, well, who is this guy? Well, you know, let's look him up and all that. So yeah, 6'9" forward from the iconic D3 institution of DePauw University. All right. Racked up over 1,000 career points, about 58% from the, you know, field goal in his career. He dropped 49 points in a single game. He was 21 for 28 on shooting against Greenville. And he led, you know, I think it's the North Coast Athletic Conference, NCAC, in rebounding last season. Has a career high of 17 boards in a single game. So, you know, just, you know, that physical presence almost averages like a near double-double. Hell, man, you know who else was 6'9"?
Hey, man.
I'm just saying, dude.
That's right. No, hey,
I'm just saying. Folks, don't be surprised if you see Ref Stevenson a couple of years in the second round mocks.
Man, that would be a heck of a story to go from a D3 institution to USF to being drafted at all. That would be a heck of a thing. But man, yeah, like you said,
on the real though, as long as he can be a solid role player, I think that's the big win right there.
Yeah.
You know, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, USF is with all mid-major institutions, you know, you take shots at guys like this who are producing at the super low levels of the college ranks, and, you know, sometimes they work out, but even if his floor is just that of a rotational big man, that's still a very valuable thing, especially in the American Conference. 6'9" is not necessarily like a huge center in the NBA or maybe at the SEC level, but for the American Conference, that's some pretty good size. So bringing in all of this size that USF has to round out this roster was really, really impressive. And it completes as one of the top classes in the American, frankly. It was a 15-man roster. They had 12 transfer portal additions, 3 high school signees. They obviously had no returners from last year. That average transfer rating of 89.0 ranks third among all group of 6 programs in the overall class. Cracked the top 10 nationally among group of 6 schools, according to 24/7 Sports. 4 players came in with 4-star ratings. That includes guards like Mike James and Jane Johnson, and forwards like Zaden High, who we mentioned previously, and Joshua Lewis. So that's really fun. And I think the my favorite return or my favorite member of this transfer portal class is definitely Sonny Wilson. He's one of the highest scoring players on this team in terms of college scoring, and he's going to be really impressive. Kind of a smaller guy, but he's really quick. He can get to the hoop. He's got kind of that floater game. You'll see that quite a bit. But at the same time, they also got some size, like we said, with Diawara as well as Zayden High. So, and they're both coming from ACC programs, and they were kind of just sitting at the bottom of the bench for them. So it's been a really fun time. Any closing thoughts on the USF roster? I know there were some kind of some fun facts about some of them, but were there any guys that I forget or any highlights that you wanted to point out?
No, man, I'm just overall just excited, man, just to see this kind of information being put out there that, you know, we got a really damn good class, you know, just overall in the American. And, you know, I'm excited to see how we match up, you know, when we get our opportunity, you know, against the big dogs next, you know, next season, you know, where we, you know, where we rank again, you know, nationally. You know, it was nice to see us, you know, make it to the tournament. And I think, you know, again, that should be the goal, you know, and yeah. It won't be easy, especially, you know, for someone, not like for someone like Michael Mack, he has the experience, but it's just, you know, coming into a brand new program and, dude, this is a fresh start for everyone. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not like, you know, he's coming in and, you know, guys are like, all right, coach, you know, we'll kind of, you know, show you the ropes. It's welcome to school, but even the teacher's new to the school as well, you know? So everyone's like, you know, what the heck is going on? But I'm optimistic though. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I am too. I'm hopeful. Like he had such massive success at Xavier. He even had a really, really tremendous start at his time in Louisville. So yeah, definitely a lot of reasons to be excited about this basketball program moving forward, even with Coach Hodgson leaving. I think they have the potential to really have another nice season. Yeah, obviously the hope and the goal should be to win the conference because I think that they're that good. I think this transfer class is that good. But at the same time, first year under a new coach, you know, you always got to make sure that expectations are not tampered, but just, you know, leveled, shall we say. So we'll see, but definitely some reason for hope. Coach Mack has done some really great things at some other programs, so no reason to think he can't do it again at USF. But shifting our focus to some bad news, baseball. They unfortunately are kind of their season's on life support, to say the least. They took game three of their series against FAU 11-6 to avoid a sweep. That was nice. And then they exploded for 16 runs again in their first game against Tulane. They had 16 runs on 18 hits. It was a road game against Tulane. It was a road series. It was the second most runs they had scored all year. Nathan Early, he went 5-for-6. He had a 3-run blast, 5 RBIs total. He's also really close to the cycle. Ryan Pruitt went 4-for-5. He had a stolen base. Jevin Relaford, he also stole his 30th base of the season. Excuse me, that was tied for 7th all time in a single USF season. Caden Smith, he was one of the strongest pitchers of the evening. He threw 4 strong, 6 strikeouts, and then Edwin Alessia came in and threw 4 more. He earned the win. So that was really tremendous, and that was putting them on a good track to maybe win their first series at Tulane since 2001, but unfortunately they dropped their second game to Tulane 9-8. Nathan Early had another great game, 3-for-5 with a trio of doubles, 2 RBIs. So that was really fun. Matt Rose, he tied the game at 6 with an RBI single in the 8th, but then Tulane came back, 3 runs, retook the lead. And then USF really tried to make it close. They almost scratched across the tying run. They scored 2 in the 9th, but ran out of time. So it was tough to see. And then they lost the rubber match 9-5, working 9-5. And unfortunately, that made them fall to 9-15 conference play. They got off to such a scorching start this year. It was really depressing to see them fall to the wayside in conference play. But Nathan Early, he still had another amazing game. He had a 2-run shot in the 7th. But Jason Walks hit a 3-run shot for Tulane at the bottom of the inning, and then Tulane kind of ran away with it. It's been a tough season for the USF baseball team. They're sitting outside of the top 8 with their finals tournament spot in real jeopardy. Like I said, their season's just on life support at this point. So it's just going to be tough. They have a weekend series against Wichita State this weekend at home, and they really need to win it in order to make the conference tournament. Otherwise, they're done. And even then, it's going to be tough. So, yeah, Musab, not great news coming from the baseball team.
Oh, no, man. You know, you ripped off the Band-Aid the best way you could, Carter. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, luckily, crossed. Man.
You know, miracles do happen. But, yeah, Nathan Early, and then also shout out Michael Sine. I know he got a little a little injury action going on right now. At least that's what I've been seeing on the news. But yeah, man, you know, I think there was still some positive takeaways, and it's, you know, for the top of my head, I don't, know how this USF, baseball program has always been and all that. But, you know, sometimes there's, ups and downs, and perhaps this is one of those down years, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But
yeah,
it's all good though, because, our gals on the other side, are fighting the good fight for us.
That's right, man. That's a great segue. The softball team, man, they had just, couldn't have finished the season any better. To cut to the chase, they won their conference tournament. They took down East Carolina. But to get there, they had to sweep North Texas to clinch their regular season title and the number one seed. They beat them 5-3 to finish that sweep, and they won a share of the regular season title. And it was just a tremendous game from Denia Brooks. She had a big time hit, driving in two runs. And then Jocelyn Wilkes, she came off the bench. She had a pinch hit RBI single. Ann Long, she had another complete game. She was 19-5 overall, 14-1 in conference play. And they held the tiebreaker over Wichita State. So they were the number one seed in the tournament. And they reached 40 wins for the 19th time under Ken Erickson. And the senior class won their 150th game. So a lot of milestone accomplishments across the board. Man, 1940 win seasons, that's just some crazy stuff from Coach Erickson. And Kathia Garcia Soto and Ann Long, they both headlined the American Conference postseason awards. Kathy Garcia Soto won American Conference Defensive Player of the Year for the third time. She's the only player in conference history to win it that many times. She was cooking. Ann Long, unanimous Pitcher of the Year selection in her freshman season. She went 19-5, 1.72 ERA. She was insane. Alex Wilkes, also a unanimous first team all-conference pick. She had a .335 batting average, 9 home runs, 46 RBIs. Alexa Galagani, she was second team all-conference honors. And Torin Fulton made the all-freshman team. So that was really tremendous. And Garcia Soto, man, she just got to everything. She led all second basemen in the country with 148 assists. That's really impressive stuff, man. That just meant that she was getting to everything in the hole. And so the semifinals started on May 8th, and they shut out FAU in that semifinal game. Ann Long, 13th complete game of the season. She just shut out FAU on 3 hits. Like that's kind of the biggest story and the biggest takeaway from this game. Alexa Galagani also started the scoring. She got a triple and then she scored on that. And that happened in the 4th inning. And then Alex Wilkes drove in a run in the 5th, and Torin Fulton added another in the 6th to seal it. So it was great. Long had 6 strikeouts, and she got out of a real jam in the 6th inning to keep that shutout intact. And now USF advanced to the championship game, where they took down ECU, as I mentioned earlier, 5-1. Ann Long again, man, a one hitter. I mean, like, just Ann Long. I feel like
only a freshman too, dude. That's just,
I know. Crazy. Yeah. Just crazy stuff. She was named the tournament's most outstanding player, deservedly so. Yeah. Jemiah Nelson drove in 2 runs with a big single in the 3rd inning to kind of put the game away. But 7 different players had hits. 5 different players scored. Really total team win. They won both the regular season and the conference tournament title in the same year for the first time under Coach Erickson, which is kind of shocking considering how many times that they've done each of, one of each, but never both at the same time. It was the 10th conference title under Erickson and the 160th conference title in USF athletics history overall. So, man, that's really fun stuff. And now they're headed to Fayetteville for the NCAA regional, their 19th overall tournament appearance. They're going to open against Washington this Friday at 8 p.m. on ESPNU. Washington leads the all-time series 4-1. They're joined in that bracket by Arkansas and Fordham. So really, really fun stuff. I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting thing. USF has reached the Super Regional twice, and they've reached the Women's College World Series once in their program history. So they're obviously looking to continue that. But man, Musab, I know that was kind of a lot. any thoughts on the softball team other than holy cow?
Just hell yeah. Gosh, man, I wish I was part of that team, dude. Honestly, just a bunch of wins here, there, everywhere, man. Everyone balling out. And yeah, man, the Ann Long show. Yeah.
Ann Long, dude. Man. And to think she's only a freshman, so she could theoretically get better. I don't really know how, but she might find a way.
Every sport, every USF sport has our legend. And I think I think Ann Long is clearly like the, you know, Isaiah Nelson or the Hugo Carr or the Carla Brito of right. our softball team. So congratulations. Right. You are our Mrs. Arbilar.
Heck yeah. No, hey man, absolutely. She deserves
Ann Long. And yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, for our men's baseball team, I think there's a couple, like Edwin. I mean, I don't know. I think I would still go Michael Sine. He's a freshman too. But every single time we talk about him, it's always just great things, minus, unfortunately, this episode with his little injury. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see how they do in the regionals. If they can make it to super regionals, that would be just such a massive accomplishment in and of itself. Because, man, they're facing some tough competition. You know, these teams don't make it this far because they're having middling seasons. So, you know, USF had an amazing season, but so did these other teams. So we'll see how the softball team is able to do under Coach Erickson, and we'll report back, and we'll keep you all informed. But moving on to lacrosse, because women's lacrosse had some fun stuff too. Musab, they had some honors, right? They had some honorable mentions on the All-American teams. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, now that the lacrosse season has come to a close, the USA Lacrosse Association has decided to honor Sophia Chepnik and Caitlin Tartaglione, both on the USA Lacrosse All-America honorable mention. Sophia Chepnik, she finished the season with 51 goals, 18 assists, 69 points in 17 games, shot about over 40% from the field. Tied the program's single game record with 7 points against Charlotte, the clear offensive engine all season long. And then Caitlin Tartaglione was just a two-way force in the midfield. She racked up 23 goals, 29 draw controls, and a team-high 16 cause turnovers. So, yeah, they both earned that first-team all-conference and their respective Player of the Year awards earlier this month. So, again, yeah, this was selected by the USA Lacrosse Magazine. This is kind of input from coaches across the country, from 102 players from 36 programs earning spots. So, just some fun stuff over there in the lacrosse side.
Yeah, absolutely. I must admit it was a bittersweet end to the season, but this was some really cool stuff to see. Some great players get some recognition because they really deserved it, man. Yeah, they really deserved it. They played their tails off.
This is just the beginning, their second year. So, yeah. It just makes me think, man, the way we're looking, it's just going to get better and better. You know what I'm saying? If I'm a high school lacrosse player, I'm thinking, if I think of USF, I'm not thinking, this is like, me playing lacrosse at just any school. I think we're up there, and it's a brand new program. So that's appealing too, is you can be part of that history. So
this
is just what it is. You know, they say society succeeds when, men plant trees for, their shade they never sit under. So,
these are...
A little philosophical, but this is just the kind of aspect of any new team, and whether we're going to be good or bad, it's just part of a new team. But just imagine, man, our nieces and nephews and kids will be saying 15, 20 years from now about our softball team, man. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if Ken Erickson is still there.
Man, that guy goes nowhere. I mean, it's going to be it's going to be a nuclear apocalypse, and Ken Erickson's still going to be coaching a 41 USF softball team.
Erickson is going to be like the Tom Moore of USF softball.
Man, speaking of Tom Moore, you saw he got hired by Iowa? That's crazy.
No, I didn't. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's back at it, man. He's back at it. Yeah, so, yeah, man, Ken Erickson, what a guy. What a guy. Hopefully he can continue to coach that softball team, and maybe the lacrosse team can eventually, they've already kind of – almost reached that. They had a heck of a season. So no disrespect there at all. So the women's lacrosse team, they had a heck of a season, and it was cool to see them earn some recognition. But now moving on to my favorite part of this episode, because this means that I get to listen to Mr. Musab Tariq wax poetic about the track and field teams. The USF track and field team, man, they had the UNF East Coast relays, right? How did those go?
Yeah, man, we closed out. Yeah, USF track team closed out the East Coast relays with several podium finishes and some, personal bests as well heading into this. We got this conference championship cooking up Nicodem Pachupien. He won the men's pole vault title with a personal best clearance of 5.35 meters. Caden Banks, he placed third in both the shot put and discus for a little, you know, solid double performance. And then Annalee Harbison, she set a personal best in the women's hammer throw with the 57.3 meter toss. So yeah, USF now is going to be headed on over to Denton, Texas, home of your University of North Texas. I forgot what they're called, but anyways.
Hey, I was born in Denton, Texas.
Oh, sweet. Oh, well, they're going back to Carterville. All right. Oh, all right. So yeah, they're going there for the American Conference Outdoor Championships. This is kind of where the juice. This is basically like, you know, if you're kind of, this is kind of like, you know, where you get that kind of NCAA bid or something. You know what I'm saying? This is where it doesn't matter, you know, if you're from Tulsa, Wichita State, or USF. If you, you know, if you get a real good time, man, you know, you're going to get that invite. So it's kind of just like, you know, you're just going against the best of the best in the conference. And, you know, if you can make it out, you know, where you match up against the other institutions. But that being said, so, yeah, they're going to be headed on over there May 14th to 16th. So it's going to be, yeah, on starting tomorrow on Thursday. But, yeah, the men's track program has won 5 straight American Conference championship. They're going to go for their 6th one this weekend in Denton. Jaleel Kroll, he leads the conference in the 100-meter that ranks, it's 10.07. That ranks 12th nationally. So he's going to go for his 9th career conference title as a senior. Kelsey Singleton, he leads the conference in the 400 meter at 45.43. And then Nathan Medalis, he adds more depth, giving USF two kind of, real good runners in that event. So 8, just a heads up, 8 Bulls have already qualified for the NCAA East Regionals. So they've already qualified. Locked in already is Jaleel Kroll, Kelsey Singleton, Nathan Medalis, Mills, Crum, both pole vaulters, one being, like I mentioned, Nicodem Pachupien, and Salas Lozano. Jaleel Kroll was actually the MVP at last year's outdoor championship after winning the 100, the 200, and the 4x1. So, yeah, look out for Jaleel Kroll out there at the outdoor conference championships. I think we're going to be making a lot of noise. So it's good to know that we already have 8 names already, qualified for the NCAA East Regionals. So after that, it's just, you know, you get invited to the national kind of invite, but there's still some bids out there for the NCAA East Regionals at these sort of meets, whether it be the ACC Outdoor or AAC Outdoor, Sun Belt Outdoor Championship, you know, they still got those spots. So, again, as I was mentioning, that 4x1 crew, they lead the conference and they rank 19th nationally. Overall, I think even in the long distance with Kareem Belmadi, he's the 800 meter runner. He ranks 2nd in the conference. And Mercy Engachab on the women's side, she leads the mid distance group over there. So, prelims will start on Thursday, finals and Friday. Thursday and Friday will be the prelims, and then finals will be on this on Saturday. So this is, the last chance for athletes to kind of make that statement before NCAA regionals to kind of get that. This is the last opportunity to kind of, you know, make it out and try to get a spot. Should be exciting. You know, this is kind of the final kind of the final countdown, or where it matters the most now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're kind of nearing the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Wanted to finish on that high note of getting to hear about some track and field stuff, because, man, that USF track and field team, Coach Erickson has done, or Coach Jenkins, I'm sorry, Eric Jenkins. My goodness, there's Erickson and then there's Eric Jenkins. It's easy to get them confused. But he's done a heck of a job, man. They're doing a heck of a thing over there at the track and field events. So that should be something to monitor for this weekend. If anyone's in Denton, Texas for some reason, definitely stop by, because that should be a fun little watch. Regardless, we'll keep you all up to date with the happenings of that, as well as anything else. including that super regional matchup, the regional matchup for the USF softball team, as well as how that Wichita State series this weekend happens for the baseball team. So definitely stay tuned for that. Give us a like and subscribe on the way out. Give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bulls. We'd really appreciate it. But until next week, thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, and to my super producer, Eureka Wheeler. But until next week, and as always, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.